Is it unfair to, I guess, put this into play where it's like we don't even know if this will be the group com game 82? Where like you could move off of a DeMar DeRozan. We've heard that if they're bringing in Russell Westbrook, you're gonna have to move off of one of those guards. Like, how do we feel about this team if Malik Monk is the guard they move off of?
It depends on what you're bringing back. Like, if you're moving off of Malik Monk, not in a Kuminga deal, but that kind of leads to a Kuminga deal, and now Jonathan Kuminga is here, I think how I feel is about the same. I think it's how I feel. If you're just able to, if you're moving on from Malik Monk and you're not really replacing him or his scoring ability or his playmaking ability, I feel less confident about this team because I don't think Russell Westbrook, as good as he was for the Nuggets at times last year, can replicate that on a consistent basis. So I feel a little less confident about a 45-win ceiling for this team or something like that. Devin Carter moving on, I'm not really
Yeah, for the
that
same.
doesn't really affect me in my thinkings about this team. But I'll ask, so I want to dive into what you said, because what you said is kind of spot on. It's a real fair question about the buy-in of all this, of everybody out here. Now let's just go down the list. Do you think Domantas Sabonis would have a hard time buying in and it would affect his play?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll be ready to go.
You think Keegan Murray would have that issue?
No, but that's also part of the uncertainty. Like, are we getting Keegan a contract extension before we get into the season,
I'm
or
assuming
is he playing on the last year of his rookie deal or whatever?
I think either situation would
I think he'll be
him.
bought in, but again, that's just I think those are all aspects where it's kind of outside factors, I guess, but also I think they play a bit. Like Keegan Murray's, instead of just being fully bought in on the Sacramento, fine. If he has his contract, then yeah, he's fully bought in. But I think there is a if he
even if he
doesn't, I think
doesn't
that
though.
if he doesn't, I think there's a point where it's like Keegan's probably thinking about his future as well.
But what does that even look like? Because if you don't have a contract and what you start half-assing it, that's going to affect your money moving forward.
I don't think he's. I'm not saying he's half-assing it, but just more so, like I said, it's the uncertainty of things. There's just. I don't think that's good for just team flow or anything like that, where there's just so many uncertainties around the roster. Because we can talk about just all the on-the-court stuff, but that off-the-court business stuff matters too, I feel, where it just matters for the flow and vibes and all that.
I agree, but I
Like, he'll be bought in. Like, King is not going to be like, oh, yeah, whatever. But
no.
like I said, it's just. I don't like that for team dynamics.
I 100% agree with you. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to figure out, like, who is this person or these people who might bring that type of energy? Because, like, a lot of the times we'll go to kind of like what TC would say about Kyle Shanahan. I used to always hear about this with Shanahan or Harbaugh or something like that, and they'll be like, man, the locker room wasn't really feeling them. They didn't like what was going on. And I'd look around and I'd be like, all right, well, Dante Whitner and Michael Crabtree, they love Kyle Shanahan. So it's not those guys. It's
Well,
not the rookies because they don't have the cachet to even be upset about anything. Who are these people that are done with?
maybe like that's maybe we're talking about two different things here, because it's like not I'm not I, like these guys are all professionals. Like Dennis Schroder's gonna go do his job. Same with DeRozan and LaVine and all that. But like my thing is like when you're getting down to it, and it's kind of like all right, like we're playing for the playoffs and all. Like it's kind of like just talking about like playing for the future and just like playing for the Sacramento Kings and all that. Just like, all right, come on, guys. Like, but like, there's also the outside things of like, I might not even be here, blah, blah, blah. Not more so just bought in as far as you play on the court, but just bought in mentally in those things, you know?
One of the things that I thought Beam Team One was able to tap into and help them in their season is I felt everybody on that team was at a point where the only thing that mattered was winning. And they had a number of different reasons as to what winning would do for them. For instance, Malik Monk. He was looked at as just this random NBA guy who hadn't fulfilled his potential. And he was talented, but did that talent lead to winning basketball? He needed to play well, but he also needed the team to be good. So I'm bought into what Coach Mike Brown is talking about. Domantas Sabonis, at the time, he was looked at as a guy who, he's talented, but does that equate to winning or anything else like that? He had to win to get that monkey off his back. Same with De'Aaron Fox. Keegan Murray, he's a young guy. He's trying to establish himself in this league. Kevin Herter, it's his first opportunity to start on a consistent basis. I gotta lock in and show that me starting is equating to win. Like, everybody had their own personal reasons, but it all centered on one thing. It all centered on, if we don't win, I don't get what I want. None of this matters. All this stuff. Monty McNair, Mike Brown coming in. We thought at the time this might be his last opportunity at a head coaching job. He had to win. Everything was about winning with that group. And they put aside whatever issues they might have had, and they got together on that common goal of winning. I wonder if this particular team has the same thing. I don't think so, because I don't know if, like, you can look at Zach LaVine, and to a certain degree, people might look at him, or he might look at himself and what people say about him as, everybody talking bad about me. They talking about, like, yeah, I put up these numbers, I'm efficient and all this other stuff, but people tell me I'm no good because it doesn't equate to winning. I need to tap into whatever Coach Christie's talking about so we can have the best opportunity to win. Same with DeMar DeRozan, same with DeMontis Sabonis, same with Dennis Schroeder. Maybe they're looking at this as a situation where, if I'm going to change the perception about me, the only thing that's going to do it is if we win basketball games. I don't think it's the same as being Team One. I think that group of guys were a little bit more desperate, it felt like, to change their fortunes. But I wonder if they have that same type of energy that will allow them to band together as a group.
I see what you're saying there, but I feel like their situations were a little bit different, because Zach LaVine, this will be his 12th year in the league, I believe. And if I'm Zach LaVine, or like looking at a guy like Zach LaVine, like what he's been over his career is what's getting done, what, $50 million this year? Like, these guys have already, like, just, to me, there's just, I don't think there's much change as far as the players that they are, just because they're all established vets in this league, and like, they are who they are at this point. You get what I'm saying? Right. Like, I think what we've seen from Zach LaVine is going to be what we see this season. Like, we're not going to see Zach LaVine's more bought in defensively or anything like that, or whatever you want to add to his game, or just whatever. Yeah, you know, add to his game as far as like buying and all that. We'll just see the same thing still.
Which is, for
younger players, I think that's different. Like, because I said, like, you're still developing all that, but like, Zach LaVine's been in this league, like I said, it'll be 11 years. DeMar is about to go in the Hall of Fame whenever he's ready to retire a few years after that.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm alone on this. People talk about it and talk about Zach LaVine like honestly, like he's a dog. Like, he's just awful. Zach LaVine was fine.
I think Zach LaVine's good.
He was fine. He was a good basketball player. Like, I think that people look at the contract and, you know, they want him to be, you know, a guy that leads a team to, you know, puts him on his back and all this other stuff. And I mean, that's not necessarily who he is, but he's good for, you know, on an average night, 18 to 22 points a night.
Yeah, he's a good player, but he's
efficient, all this other stuff. Like, that's fine. Like, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think just all that's just leading you to a play-in, though. Like, we've seen what is Zach LaVine, like, what these led teams look like. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the problem.
Like, I don't think you're going to get anything more out of it. Like, even with DeMar DeRozan and him leading it.
But here's the problem. Here's and this is what I say about.
I don't think a narrative's going to change that.
But here's what I say about the things with, like, Zach LaVine. Is the problem Zach LaVine, or is the problem the people around Zach LaVine? Like,
it could be both, but those problems are still here, though.
But people are like mad at Zach LaVine because he doesn't lead you to more. My answer to that wouldn't be, hey, stop asking Zach LaVine to lead you to more and go get somebody that will lead you somewhere. Keep Zach LaVine. You need what his production and what he brings to the table. Go get you a better player. Like, and this is what I always go back and forth with James and all this other stuff, where it's like, yeah, Zach is never going to lead you anywhere. What the hell is DeMontis Sabonis doing here then? Like, what is he doing? Zach is supposed to be that contributes to what you're doing.
Well, if we go off of Sabonis real quick, you know how I feel. I don't think he's franchise either.
Right.
And going off of Zach LaVine, he's been in three different teams. He's been Wolves, Bulls, and Kings. Yeah, Wolves, Bulls, and Kings. Like, he's been this will be his 12th year. Has it always been everyone else's fault, though, as far as, like, why he hasn't been able to win and all those things? And I don't even necessarily disagree with you, But there's also a point where maybe Zach LaVine's the constant there. And if you want to flip the situation, it's like, it's not Zach LaVine, it's the players, like the team around him and stuff. I think you have that same situation here where it's not going to be very, like, you don't have a team built, or like, I guess, to maximize Zach LaVine's abilities.
Right. And what I'm saying to that, and I know you understand the same thing, we're speaking the same thing, is that's not Zach LaVine's fault. That's not, that doesn't make him a bad player or somebody that you even need to have off the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, my thing would be, Zach LaVine, do your job. Do what you're supposed to do. You're a scorer. I look for you to give me 18 to 22 points a night. I look for you to be aggressive. Do that. The most frustrating things for me with Zach LaVine is when he was too passive, when he was passing the ball around so much, trying to work. Nah, bro, like, stop all that.
Shoot also the something ball. Tristan tried to warn us about, though.
Yeah, but shoot the ball. That's my issue with
it. Yeah.
My issue, like, but what was the thought process between people who thought about Zach LaVine? Oh, he's just an offensive chucker who doesn't play defense and all this. Like that. No, he actually doesn't. I would want him to shoot the ball more. Like, I want him to shoot damn near 22 times a night sometimes when he's putting up 9 shots. Like, I want you to be more aggressive. I want you to take on more of that responsibility. And all that playmaking and, you know, being a point guard and getting everybody else involved, we'll leave that to somebody else. And I think a lot of people look at him like, he doesn't take over. Like, we don't need him here. No, you need what he brings to the table. You just need other people to do those type of things, the takeover guys and all this other stuff. And if you don't have that, it's not Zach LaVine's fault that you don't have that.
Okay, well, fine. We can compromise there. So I don't think the Kings have the pieces where it's like, you'll see, I guess, what a maximized Zach LaVine team could look like. I think it'll just look a lot of the same, where it's just a bunch of mismatch pieces, and they'll get to the play, and it won't really amount to much, I feel.
Right.
And, like, I don't think we're going to see anything different, I guess. We can call it because of that.
And that's fine, too. Now, once again, I'm not sure.
You're bringing a Kuminga and stuff. Maybe that's different, but.
Yeah, but I'm also not sure what the dynamics of that locker room, of the coaching staff, may do for a guy like Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach LaVine is also, I think, a 2-time All-Star. He's had All-Star seasons. He's been on teams that have been successful and been winning teams and been able to get to the playoffs.
They made All-Star team 2021 and then 2021-22.
Yeah, and the other aspect of that, and this is what I also talk about with that team of last year, is you have a guy that potentially is more of a table setter. You didn't have that at the second half of last year when Zach LaVine got here. It's clear that Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, for them to maximize what they can be, they need a guy that's going to set. They need a point guard. They're finishers, not starters of the offense. Hopefully, you have that now in a guy like Dennis Schroeder, you know, to play a role that maybe Lonzo played that year he was there in Chicago, and everything was going great for both of those two guys. So we'll see. We'll talk about it more. We've got a star-studded list of guests pulling up. Got my girl Sarah Hodges pulling up. And at the same time, Tristy Rodriguez of NBC Sports Bay Area is also going to pull up. They're going to hang with me for a little while. Guru Johnson from 95.7 The Game, he's going to pull up on us. And then we'll talk a bunch of everything with my man James Hamm when he comes up at 3 o'clock. It's D'Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station. Oh, yeah, we in for a good time now. We in for a good time. I got my homegirls in the building with me here on D'Lo and KC. These are two of my favorites. Just two of my favorites. Even though one of them left us, we're talking about Sarah Hodges, ABC7 in the Bay Area. Sarah Hodges, woo-hoo! She ain't with us no more, but it's still love.
Tristy's happy about it.
It's still love. I know she is. I know. Let me just say, Tristy Rodriguez, NBC Sports Bay Area and California. She's here in the building with us. I don't have a round of applause, but I'll give you guys a round of applause right there.
We can all do it, literally. Yeah. Yay.
My girls are in the building here. Now, hold on now. Hold on. While we were getting ready and getting everything situated during break, Tristy says she had a bone to pick with me. I don't know why. I don't be doing nothing out here. I be minding my own business. I'm nice to everybody. You know, I be smiley faces everywhere. What's your problem with me? What did I do?
You are just so unorganized.
That's
and
not
you
true.
Have sense of respect for other people's time.
That is not true. That is so false. Yes, that is 100% yes, false. Now, you I did make a mistake.
I'm on the show. You know what? Let me talk. You hit me last week.
Spicy Christy.
So I said I couldn't. I said, let's do next week. You said, for sure. I think Sarah's going to come. Okay, cool. Don't hear from you for any other time. If I never texted you Saturday, you probably would have texted me 20 minutes ago. Hey, you still coming on?
Not true.
I texted you Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was like, are we still doing Monday? And you're like, yeah, for sure. Like, and I was like, okay, like what time? 12:45. I'm on the phone with Sarah on FaceTime this morning. She says, we're going on at 1:15. Yeah. No, you said one at first. At first, Sarah, you said one.
Because he told me one.
Kenny said one. I said, what? He told me 12:45. And she's like, no, let me text him right now. Oh, he said 1:15. Bro, I would have been here at 12:40, sitting here waiting for you for 30 minutes.
Looking cute.
Talking
to Sarah.
You're 100% correct. That was my fault today. You're 100% correct. I forgot.
Damien's fault?
No, I forgot I mentioned to her 12:45. Yeah. I did mention that to her. And in my mind, I was thinking 1:15 because the whole thing is 1:15 to about 2:13. So in my mind, I was thinking 1:15. So when I wrote out the show today, I had you guys at 1:15. And then she come with me talking about 12:45. I was like, no, I got y'all for 1:15. And I looked in the text messages. I did look in the text and I said, I did tell 12:45. That's my bad.
You're just missing that's your better bad. Half, and that's maybe a little bit of the issue.
No, it's fine. Okay. I mean, that's my guy. Yeah, but yeah. No, it's just my fault. It's just my fault.
Listen, I'm more like you, so I was like, okay, 12:15, 12:45, 1:15 even better.
Yeah, no, that's on me. Now, let me tell y'all the story about trying to make this happen.
Ooh.
Trying to make this work.
Because we don't know what happened.
We've been talking about this for a minute. And I was like, yo, when I did bring up the scenario, I was like, yo, Sarah, Tristan, y'all need to come in here, be on the show, let's get this thing cooking, you know, we have a good time. Oh yeah, it's a good look. Finally worked it out with Tristy. She's like, yeah, we could do it on Monday. Cool. So in that text message conversation, I was like, all right, so what's up, you coming through to the studio, right? She's like, what?
This is him getting
what? Do you know where I live? I said, yeah, but in my head I was like, yeah, but you saw in the message, I said, you guys come in the studio and do this. And she said, no.
I don't think you ever said in the studio. You just said, can you come on the show?
Well.
Did you look back at the text or not?
Didn't you mention to her in the studio?
Well, I just think it would be really fun to be in the studio. I'd rather her be in the studio, obviously. So what we did. We have a future plan. We're gonna come together in studio one day on a really warm day. We're gonna go have lunch after, and then we're gonna go to Sunsplash.
Oh, what a blast!
Maybe
what
get a little tipsy and go to Sunsplash.
What a blast! Now I did. For whatever reason, I thought Tristy was out. That's the only reason why I said in studio. If I knew she was gonna be like at home or close to the studio. Like she is, I wouldn't even have said it. I thought she would have been out here hanging out with you.
I was hoping so.
So that's why I'm
always
in studio.
I'm always in SAC.
That's what my thought process was.
All the time, like, do you live in SAC? Do you live in the Bay? Like, where do you live? So, like, I get that, but it's fine. We'll make it happen.
Either way, we made this happen. It's been months in planning, and we were able to make it happen.
That's all that matters.
I'm glad. Shout out Sarah. Shout out Tristy. We're going to have a good time today, man, as we go through the world of sports, man. And let's start. Let's start where we left off. Let's start with the Sacramento Kings. That's what we were talking about. There were reports over the weekend that Russell Westbrook and the Sacramento Kings have been in constant contact with each other. And it feels inevitable to a lot of people that Russell Westbrook will eventually be a Sacramento King. A lot of people aren't really feeling that in Kings Twitter and Kings land. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's cool. Obviously, if you bring Russell Westbrook in, you're going to have to, separate from Malik Monk, separate from Devin Carter, and kind of clear up that logjam that you have at the guard spot. But Sarah, I'll ask you first, what are your thoughts about Russell Westbrook joining this particular Sacramento Kings team?
I think we talked about it the last time I was on the show, but it's hard because I think that we've already seen the best of Russ, right? And so we're going to kind of see Russ not at his best. And if you're a Kings fan or want the Kings to be good, it's kind of a little bit, not like a slap in the face, but like low key. It's like, oh, you got Russell Westbrook, but like, he's not the old Russell Westbrook.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, it's exciting because it's a big name. And I think like he's going to do a good job. Like, I think he'll be great, but it's not like the old Russ. Whereas then it would have been a slam dunk, no brainer. And it's already like kind of crowded in that position. So then it's like, it's kind of like almost like you're excited about it, but then you have to deal with like the aftermath of like, okay, well then who are we giving up? Mm-hmm. You know? And that's a hard pill to swallow.
For sure. For sure. Tristy, what do you think about Russ?
Yeah. I mean, kind of the same. I think personally speaking, I love Russell Westbrook. Like I'm a Heat fan. I wish Russ would have been on the Heat. Like, I've always wanted that, like, for years, 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 right? I, personally speaking, love Russ. I think for the Kings, he does address what they need. But, it brings up questions of, like, this logjam at the position. It brings up, who are you giving up? Are you partying with Malik? I will say I reached out to someone close to Russ yesterday, and they told me that things haven't changed in terms of, yes, he and the Kings have been in communication, but nothing has changed as far as like leaning closer to a decision or not. Mm-hmm. He's still kind of keeping his options open, but he, like, it's been well reported, he does want to be close to home, and that is in California. So I think on both ends, you know, it does seem like a good fit. I think, again, Russ can play the playmaker position that the Kings need and lacked last season. Mm-hmm. But again, like Sarah said, it's not the old Russell Westbrook, but at the same time, like, the Kings have so many questions anyway. So it's like, it almost like, can it fault them? I guess, if that makes sense.
Give it a go.
Yeah, why not?
At this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things at play. Number one, Russell Westbrook, while he was hit or miss, you know, sometimes with Denver last year, I thought he did a really good job for them in the role that he played in. He obviously, like mm-hmm. you talked about, he's not MVP Russell Westbrook, a guy that you can depend on to be, you know, a triple-double type guy and carry your friends. That's not where he's at in his career. But last year, as a guy off the bench, an energy guy off the bench, another ball handler, I thought he did a lot of really good things with Denver last year.
He can attack the rim.
Yeah, he did a lot of good things with them.
Yeah.
And that's something that this team could use, the Sacramento Kings team could use. So I think that would be a really good fit for him coming off the bench. Now, when you have guys like Devin Carter, when you have guys like Malik Monk, who I don't know what the Kings say, like, but it feels like they're not sold on them being part of the future of this team. Some would even say Keon Ellis is in that role as well.
Definitely.
You have to make a decision on those guys first before you even think about a Westbrook.
Yeah.
You have to find a way, if you're trying to, and I want to reiterate, I'm not saying they should because I love the guy. But if you're trying to move on from Malik Monk for whatever reason you are, you got to handle that situation first.
Yeah.
If you're trying to move on from Devin Carter, you got to handle that situation first. Because you right now, you've got about four or five guards in that rotation who all think they deserve minutes, who all want to get on the floor. You add Russell Westbrook to that situation, it gets even more convoluted.
Yeah.
So I think that stuff has to be taken care of one way or another before you can even think of being in a guy like Russell Westbrook. But if you do bring him in, I think he can do a lot of good things for this team.
Why not?
To me, it kind of contradicts everything that Scott Perry has like talked about over the past couple months, which is he's preaching patience. He's preaching like things going to happen seasons and seasons, seasons into it, right? So if you're going away from some of your younger guys, whether that be Malik, Devin Carter, Keon, you're going for the older guys like Russ, Dennis Schroeder, like you're focused on competing now versus building for your future. So I don't, to me, it just kind of contradicts what Scott's saying. Maybe he's talking about in other positions or elsewhere, whatever, building around the guys, but still putting young people around them. I don't know. But to me, I just don't know the direction that Scott and the Kings are trying to aim for.
But I will say this about that. It one of the things that Scott Perry said and continues to say every time he's at a podium or in front of a microphone, this is about changing the culture, changing the dynamics, changing the locker room of what this team is and what this organization is. And I think that supersedes any type of thoughts of patience or a youth movement or whatever. If I'm Scott Perry, and I agree with him on this, if I'm looking for a specific type of player that brings a specific type of energy, mindset, and leadership to this locker room, I don't care if he's 22 or 52. That's who's going to be here, because that supersedes any type of, if I got a bunch of young guys, and I'm just going to say it. Some people may feel this might be the case with a guy like Devin Carter. If I got a bunch of young guys who don't have the right mindset, mm-hmm. who aren't bringing the right type of attitude mm-hmm. to this organization, it does me no good. Mm-hmm. It does me no good to have these guys around here if they're not playing basketball and approaching the team the way that I see fit. Yeah. So if the young guys aren't going to do it and they're not going to play the way that I'm trying to mold this franchise in this roster, and Coach Christie is trying to mold this franchise in this roster to play, then fine, I'll go get the old guys who will do it, and I'll figure out the age stuff later. But I need guys with a certain mentality.
Yeah.
On this roster, a certain mindset on this roster, and I don't really care if they're young or old.
And we know that Russ has that. Like, there's not many, like, point guards that are as physical, even at this big age, than Russ is. Like, he's fighting for rebounds, he's putting his body on the line, like, all of that. And I think you're right, like, as a veteran, even though there's plenty of veterans on the team, just kind of having somebody seasoned that's been through it to maybe mentor some of these younger guys mm-hmm. would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it, you know, makes you a playoff contender having him. Like, I just.
Yeah.
He's not that, you know, Russ anymore.
Not at all. But let me ask.
I'll buy the jersey, though.
Oh, yeah. You got to get a Russell Westbrook Kings jersey.
I'll buy the jersey.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
Tristy, let me ask you this. I talked about earlier how I think I look at this team. You get a guy like Russell Westbrook, you move on from Malik Monk and Devin Carter, and now you've got Russ as a backup and all this. And I think a lot of people are kind of merging the two ideas, and it's not really fair. They look at the fact that the Kings maybe got older, don't really have young guys that they can build on for their future, and they're equating that to them this year being a bad team. And I don't think those things have to be related. I think you could have an older roster, DeMar DeRozan, Russell Westbrook, Sabonis, LaVine, mm-hmm. Schroeder, those guys, not have guys that are set up for the future, but this year still be a good team, still be a team yeah. that battles in that play-in that potentially gets a playoff spot. I think the talent that they have on this roster right now isn't that of a 33-win team. I think it's like a 40 to 45-win team. And – I'm not saying that's championship contender-wise, but people tend to look at this roster and like, oh, okay, well, we're going to get Russ. We're just going to be sorry. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case with this team. What do you think of this roster as is right now?
No, I agree with you. I think you can't question the talent, right? Like, the talent is there. If they get Russ, LaVine, DeMar, Sabonis, Russ, like, that, the talent is there. I think it's the fit. How do they mesh together, right? We saw it in a short amount of time last season. So I am excited to see how it plays out with the full season and with Doug Christie, you know, in a full season. But I think the age thing, it's like you see what Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond did, right? Everyone's talking about their age, about, you know, just them being older, whatever. It worked so well once they got there, right? I'm not comparing the Kings to the Warriors, but it's just like everybody brought up the age concerns before the Warriors did get Jimmy. And we saw it work. It's about the fit. It's about how it all meshes together. And so I think Russ, like how we kind of just talked about, he is the type of player where he knows his role. He knows what to do. He knows what not to do, right? He's never going to do too much. So I think, like, yeah, to your point, like, I don't think this makes them a bad team by any means. It's more just them kind of figuring it out. And I think they're all established veterans that they would be able to do so.
Yeah. What you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I think also kind of like with last year, we're talking about all these guys and who do we need to get rid of to like make this team better. And I just think what kind of stood out to me with what Tristy said and what I've been thinking all along is just like the small sample size. You know, after this team has played together and they're going to play together more and play together more, they're only going to be better. And so I think I would think, like, I don't know if you're going to get into like the offseason moves, so I don't want to like try to like
say whatever's on your mind.
But I just think like. With that being said, like for Kings fans, something that they can at least find solace in is the fact that like, okay, like we get to see these guys do it again and they have, you know, some time together under their belt, but now they're going to have a full season together mm-hmm. with sort of new leadership, you right. know, obviously some above, but like Doug Christie has always been around.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think like, sorry to cut you off, sir, but no, the biggest right. like, of course, duh, is like not only is it the sample size and it's like we'll see a full season with it. It's if Russ joins the Kings, we'll see DeMar, LaVine, all of them, the newer additions, whatever, with an actual point guard, right, for a full season. Because like Malik tried to fill that role, right, and it was never they all talked about it. It's no secret in the offseason, like, we need a true point guard. Right? Right. If Russ is playing the field, and again, he's very good at this role, like, that's the biggest thing. It's like, okay, we can see this team and how this offense runs, one, with Doug Christie in a full season, but also, and again, his coaching staff, all the new additions, which I think were really big moves in all this as well. Mm-hmm. I think just having Russ in that role and having these, the offense with the true point guard running the offense, is like, of course, it's, you know, it's exciting to look forward to.
Yeah, and that's
which one, we're going to hopefully see it with Dennis.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I talked about a number of different times, and it's 3-4 years later. So these guys could just be completely different players. But when they talk about, and they make jokes about LaVine and DeRozan not working in Chicago, it only didn't work until Lonzo Ball went down. Mm. When Lonzo was there as a point guard, they had the number one record in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. They were playing really well. They ended up getting to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And once they lost the point guard, the guy that was running the show and setting the table for DeMar and for Zach LaVine and everybody else, it kind of, you know, fell apart, you know. You get a guy like Schroeder here who isn't Lonzo Ball, but I also don't think he's necessarily Malik Monk, where Malik Monk is more of a finisher, more of a scorer, a pure scorer, looking for his shot. I think Dennis Schroeder, who shoots the ball a little bit as well, I think he, there are more times when he'll be looking to set the table and help those guys out a little bit. Which, and maybe that might help. No, that might be a little bit more cohesive for LaVine, for DeRozan, for Keegan, all these guys. Because last year, you mentioned it, Tristy, we didn't see these guys with a point guard in the lineup, a guy that'll truly look to set the table for these guys.
Yeah, to your point, I think Schroeder, like, he's more point guard where it's, like, going to make the right play. Like, not to say that Malik doesn't, but, like, Malik's going to look for his own, you know? And it, I think Dennis kind of helps spread the floor a little bit. And, like I said, it's kind of set the table of what offense needs and looking to pass first or, again, make that right play. But he can also go get a bucket. And then on the other end of the floor, I think he has a little bit of a defensive advantage over Malik. Not to say he's, like, a great defender, but he has that grit. He has, you know, that dog in him on the defensive end that I think Malik oftentimes lacks.
Malik is just wild. But also that I think that's what makes him so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I love
you Malik. I love watching Malik. Like, I'm going to be sick if he goes.
Yeah. Just me, you and everybody else.
Just because of like his style of play. Like, he's just, you don't even know where the ball's going. Okay. You really don't. Right. You think you know because you played basketball and all of this. You don't know.
Yeah. He's a wild card, man.
He's a wild card.
And I love.
It's like a sophisticated play versus just kind of like.
I love that aspect of Malik Monk, but I don't think it's best used at the point guard position.
No, 100%.
More stability at that point guard
position. When Domantas Sabonis is saying we need a point guard, then I think like everybody, there's nobody that can disagree because he's not going to just talk to talk.
Yeah, and this is the line I keep saying. I feel like Malik Monk is a finisher. Don't put him in that position. Don't ask him to be this guy that's supposed to facilitate for everybody else and try to find the balance of facilitating and getting his own shots off. Because that's the other thing about that is when they had him playing point guard, they still were needing him to score 15 to 17 points a night. You know, so it's like, all right, well, we need you to distribute. Make sure DeRozan eats, make sure LaVine eats, Sabonis gets his, Keegan gets his, and you still got to score at a high level too.
And
that's not really his strong suit to be able to navigate those waters. So even if he was here, even if rest work doesn't happen or, you know, other people are moved or whatever, I'd still want to see Malik going back to that role of making sure he was a finisher, a scorer, a playmaker, you know what I mean? And let him move the ball at his own discretion as opposed to feeling obligated to have to get everybody involved.
I mean, the Kings were just desperate last year for that, right? But like, and that's where good coaching comes. Like, you realize like your strengths and weaknesses in each of your players, and you try to set them up, you know, in the best position to execute at what they're good at, right? But I just, you know, they were obviously desperate last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, at that point,
I think somebody's got to step up. Everyone can agree, maybe even deep down Malik can agree with this too, is that his best role with this specific team was that sixth man role. Like, that's where he thrived. That's where the team thrived. That's where he thrived. And it just fit the best. But I think in like the addition of like Zach LaVine last season kind of just made that whole just log jam even more jammed. But yeah, I don't know. The point guard role for Malik just, it clearly just didn't work.
And Coach Brown knew it. everybody was upset about it, and he knew it. Mm-hmm. He knew where, you know, Malik fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things where I was saying a number of different times, give him that opportunity. Let's see what he's got at the starting two guard spot.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as cohesive as I would have liked it. But even then, I'll say this, when he had, much like the other guys, when he had a point guard next to him, like De'Aaron Fox, he was fine. Like, Malik wasn't hurting the team with what he was doing when he was able to play that off guard spot and be a finisher in the lineup. Once they needed him to set the table for everybody, that just wasn't his strong suit.
Yeah, it wasn't in his palate.
His mind and his heart was in the right place. I saw him trying to do it and try to be that guy, but that's not where you best utilize a guy like Malik Monk. Exactly. You let him go out there and be a finisher once again on the offensive end. So hopefully we see a little bit more of that with Malik here. I hope Malik is here. That's what I'm hoping for. Sarah Hodges, Tristy Rodriguez, they rocking with me here on D-Lo and KC for a little while. They rocking with me. I want to get to the Chatty House and see what you guys think about this. Brian in the Chatty House says 40 wins, kind of worse than being sorry, isn't it? Soren says 40 wins, woohoo, purgatory, all in the Chatty House. I mean, there's this thought that you need to tank to be successful. I understand the logic in that, but there are all-stars. There are top-level players that are found everywhere throughout the draft. No matter where you draft, you just have to hit on them. Neat Clifford could be a potential starter in this league. Mm. A lot of people feel great about Maxime Reynal. We just saw Jalen Williams, who was, I think, the 12th, 4th, or 16th pick. I can't remember. But he wasn't this top three pick. Mm-hmm. Win an NBA championship, and a lot of people were talking about he should have won Finals MVP. Jokic, obviously, is the creme de la creme of guys like that. Do you guys feel the same way, though, and I'll start with you, Sarah, that they need to tank to kind of change the fortunes of this franchise and find those top players?
I mean, it almost feels that way, but I don't think any team necessarily has to tank to do that. Like, and here's the thing. I just think that the direction of the leadership just, like, needs to be on the same point, and they just, like, need to execute and all buy into the vision. Right. I just feel like it's, and we've talked about this so many times, but I just feel like it's, to me, it's like less about the players and more just about like the inconsistencies with the franchise and just like where they're always trying to go and, you know, firing one coach, getting another as if that's going to fix things, and it's not. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm just not a firm believer in like you always need a tank to like then rebuild and be better. Like just see what your roster's at, figure out how they fit in with what you're trying to do with the team. And if they don't, then get rid of them and get the plug and play, you know, just like that. And I guess for me, it just feels like this franchise just has such trouble with the leadership, you know, executing in that way. It's always about like, oh, well, you know, GM couldn't do it. The, you know, coaching staff couldn't do it. We're getting rid of them, which I get that to some extent too. Cause at some point it's like, you're missing the playoffs over and over and over. Like fans are just impatient, but, I just think it's more about just figuring out, like, you know, your identity and executing.
Mm. Tristy, are you a tank believer? A tank truther?
No, I'm not. I mean, we saw, like, with the Mavs this past offseason, right? Like, they got Cooper Flagg. And it's just, I get it.
Rigged.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation. My goodness.
I think like I have a hard time believing that a team with a new, we'll say new head coach, a new front office staff, right, a new coaching staff in their first season together, full first season together, is just like, let's tank. Like, I don't know. And I have a hard time believing a team with DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Sabonis, and, you know, if Russell Westbrook comes on this team, I have a hard time believing a team with all that talent, their first thing is let's tank. And most of all, I think I have a hard time believing Scott Perry. That's his mindset, because we know the history of Scott Perry. Like, he's smart in terms of, you know, the basketball, the business side of things, but he's such a competitor. Hearing the way that he speaks, and just like, I think there's a way you can balance it, right? Like, I think the frustrating part for Kings fans, and I get this, is that they're in the middle, right? Like, it's like, okay, you can see it both ways. Like, damn, we have all this talent. Like, we can go this far, but then it's also like, we're not like we see the rest of the West and like they're not gonna make it a deep playoff run and make it to the Western Conference Finals. Like that's probably just not gonna happen, right? So then it's like, okay, if I'm a fan, I'm like, then why not just tank? And like, we're not going anywhere with this team anyway, right? So I do understand that. I guess the frustrating part is just being in that middle. Like, are we okay with being mediocre? And that is the frustrating part. But I have a hard time believing that that's the goal or the focus of this team heading into the season. The
Kings, you can always say like, oh, we're going to.
Hold that thought real quick. The Kings are depressing. They're depressing. It is. We don't need to talk about this.
Sucks for you guys.
We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, I'll let Sarah finish her thought about the Kings. Write that thought.
Okay.
But then let's have some fun.
Okay. It's really not a big deal. We can go have a good time.
Let's have a good time, man.
I don't want to bore anybody else with talking about the Kings and how they're going to be better.
It's not boring.
I guess my point was just quickly going to be just like, even if they do tank and get like this great draft pick, is that person even going to be, that player going to even be everything that we always thought? Like, it just, we've seen how that has gone with the Kings previously. Right. So like, I don't know. There's nothing crazy. Let's have some fun.
I got Sarah Hodges rocking with me. I got Tristy Rodriguez pulling up with me. It's D'Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station. Back here on D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. I got my girls hanging with me, man. I got Sarah Hodges, ABC 7 in the Bay Area. Tristy Rodriguez, NBC Sports Bay Area. She rocking
with me.
Yeah, man. So, all right, so there's a couple things that went on. There's so much that went on. We're going to have some fun. We're going to step away from the Kings just a little bit. We get to know my homies just a little bit better. We learned that Tristy is a confused, lost football fan who really, at the end of the day, she said a lot of words to say that she's a free agent. Why don't you just be with the Niners? Come on. Come over here.
Listen, like, I cover them for work, right? So I'm not like, I can't be a fan, but I will say, like, I root for them. I want them to do well because that makes our jobs more fun, right? Like, when they don't win any games, like, it's not fun for anyone. Right. But I wouldn't say I'm a 49ers fan, and my Raider fan dad would probably kill me. So, yeah, like I said, I like players. I root for players. I like Christian McCaffrey. I like Ayuk. I like Kittle. So, like, okay, we can save that. But yeah, I don't. I guess I am a free agent. I don't know. You know what?
I want to need to come to the dark side and just,
who's gonna be like not good this season? Let me think. Maybe I'll be like a Bears fan or something. Wait, aren't you a Bears fan? No, you're a Raiders fan.
I was gonna say something mean, but I'm not gonna say that. I won't. You're talking about who's not gonna be good. I won't say that. Let's just say.
What are you gonna say? The Raiders?
Yes, but
wow.
I won't say that. How about somebody soaring in the chat? He says you can be a Saints fan.
They're gonna be bad.
I mean, like when they're good, yeah. It's gonna be bad.
There was
this year.
A point where I almost moved to New Orleans, so I guess I can be a Saints fan.
You can join the Jesse side and be a Dolphins fan.
Dolphins? They're gonna be average. The Colts.
But at least you could watch games in Miami if you
have. Nah, being a Dolphins fan is no different than being a Kings fan. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Damn, that's tough.
You'll be miserable.
That's tough. While we're here on the football teams, Sarah, we all know she's a big Raiders fan. We got some things popping off, man. You gotta come rock with us a couple times. I'll tell you off there. You gotta come rock with us. But I had a question last week, and nobody was being truthful until I hit them with that Uno draw four card. Why do Raider fans hate the 49ers?
Do we really have to talk about this again? Because I've already answered this.
I don't think, not here.
Okay.
Would you admit that is the number one team that Raider fans hate the
most? No. And as a matter of fact, I feel like that's such like a Bay Area thing. I didn't grow up a Raiders fan in the Bay Area. You have to keep that in mind. My biggest would be the Chargers, because I grew up in Orange County driving down to San Diego to watch. Have you ever been to a Raiders Chargers game?
That's a lie. That's not true. Please. Once again, here we go. Uno, draw four. Sarah, draw four. Because I'll ask
the Chiefs,
you the question.
We hate the Chiefs way more than we hate the Niners.
Jesse, they're going right back into the game.
You're stuck in your Bay Area. This is not cap. Ask any real Raiders fan.
I'm going to tell you right now. You know how I know?
No.
You know how you know? I'm going to ask a real Raider fan right now.
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask a real Raider fan.
Go ahead.
The Chiefs and the Niners played in the Super Bowl. How many Raider fans do you know that were hoping the 49ers would win?
All me. I did not want the Chiefs to win. I was rooting for the 49ers.
How many? Were you on a one? Were you on one man, one woman wolf back?
I didn't count, but I can imagine. I know Raiders fans everywhere, and everybody was hoping the Niners won that game. You were out of touch with that.
True.
You were. What did you?
Well, I definitely can't repeat it, but.
Okay. Well.
Anyway,
regardless what she said, I'm telling you right now, you were off base.
I lived it. I didn't find one Raider fan.
Just because you're a 49ers fan, so I feel like it just put the heat on you extra. But I think if you were to take the large, like, Raiders fans from around the country, around the world, they would have rather the 49ers won that game. There's no way, if you're a real Raiders fan, that you were rooting for the Chiefs. I will pull your card in a second.
That's what I thought.
There is no
way.
That's
what I thought. And so you actually had to be faced with that situation.
I was faced and I wanted the 49ers to win.
You were one of the few.
One of the few, because I feel like you get extra heat because of where you're at. Right?
Why would I get any heat because of where I'm at?
Because you're a 49ers fan, so everybody's going to try to get you going.
But it shouldn't matter.
And want to talk mess and
but when it comes you. When it comes to the Chiefs, it shouldn't matter, right?
It shouldn't matter.
I could live in Oakland. And it shouldn't matter because the Chiefs are number one. It shouldn't even come close. Like, for instance, it don't matter who the Dodgers play. It doesn't matter who they play. They are number one. I don't ever want them to win a World Series. It doesn't matter if I live in L.A. or if I live anywhere. That's public enemy number one.
But
that's how it should be with the Chiefs and the Raiders, okay, if that's really what it is.
You're contradicting yourself because, okay, the same way Sarah is saying that, maybe that rivalry established when they were both in the Bay Area, right? And that's the only way you know it, Kenny, but not the way Sarah knows it because she grew up in the L.A. area. Mm-hmm. So Chargers, and like I grew up in Bakersfield.
Not to mention they're in our division.
Exactly.
Like, so Chargers, you're talking about, it's
more,
just.
We're talking, like, if by your logic, you're saying the A's are more of the Giants rivals than the Dodgers are. That just doesn't make sense.
No, what I'm telling you and her is geography don't matter. The franchise matters. It doesn't matter if I'm living in LA.
By location.
It doesn't matter if I'm living in LA or living in the Bay Area. The Dodgers are public enemy number one. I'll tell you like this. It doesn't matter where I'm living.
But why?
The Seahawks.
But why are they? But it's not just because. Why are they public enemy number one?
Because that's the history of the franchises. It don't matter where I live. That's the history of the franchise.
If the Raiders never moved to the Bay, and they stayed in LA, y'all would not be tripping off them at all. Ever.
We're not tripping it wouldn't matter. Now we get back into
just
the
just like the Lakers aren't tripping off the Kings.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is with Niners and Raiders, to be honest with you. Now, because to your guys' point with the whole geography thing, we go back and forth with people all the time about Raiders, Niners, and that's how that goes. So yeah, Niners fans always talking crazy about the Raiders. I'm not disputing that. But if you ask them right now, or a lot of them
y'all
right
now.
Y'all
are in the West together.
You ask
that's why the rivalry is as hot as it is between the Dodgers and the Giants. You guys are constantly competing against each other to be number one.
Right. So why do Raider fans hate the Niners so much?
I don't know. I'm not in that conversation. Like, I don't. So I don't know how to answer that. I would think it's just like a Bay Area thing. That's my point.
But I didn't hate the A's.
I don't know. I don't know why. Just because the A's are never relevant. Why would you hate them?
A's fans were relevant the A's were relevant in the 2010s, 2000s. They were a good team.
And it wouldn't even matter if they were or not for you.
I agree. That's how I feel about Raiders Niners.
I know. I'm with you. I don't have. That's what I'm saying. I don't have that experience that you have with like Raiders and like I said, it's probably like a Bay Area thing. Mm. But I don't have that experience.
Because to be honest with you, I don't have no problem with the Raiders.
Yeah, and I don't have any problem with the 49ers. I hope they're good. I
feel the same way about the Raiders.
Doesn't matter to me.
I'm cool with them.
Y'all are saying the same thing in like different fonts, basically.
No.
I don't know where Sarah was. I don't know where Sarah was at, though. I didn't meet not one Raider fan that was rooting for the Chiefs.
I don't think you're rooting for either. But would you rather? Yeah, you would rather have the 49ers win over the Chiefs.
And this is all I'm saying is if I was in that situation, yeah, I'm not rooting for either, but one supersedes the other. That's
for sure. No, you're
every
right.
Every time.
The Chiefs supersedes the 49ers in the rivalry department.
Okay.
If you're a Raiders fan.
I just had to ask a true Raider fan. Me and my
you
new,
got your answer.
Me and my new Niner fan homie, Tristy Rodriguez, because we are recruiting her. She will be a Niner fan. So it's all good. We just had
she
to
could be
ask
both. She could be a Raiders and a Niners fan.
Now we're getting out of control. We can't do
house
that.
Divided.
You
house
can't
divided.
Do that, but you can
you kinda can
understand.
You kinda can.
Sarah said she was going to come into D'Lo and KC today, and she was coming to D'Lo and KC with a game.
Yay!
And I want to know what this game is all about. I want to know how we're going to do this.
Do we get any like instrumentals for this?
We have a throwback here. Do we have any instrumentals? No, but I'll give you air horns.
Okay, so I don't know how many fans on here watched Sports Sunday when I was here in Sacramento as the host, but we would play this game. It was a segment that I came up with. Called Oh for Show or Ain't No Way.
Okay.
Obvious.
Sometimes I would like my answer. I would get confused with how I wanted to say it.
That's okay. Well, like, here's redemption time, right? Because right, you have a chance. So we're gonna Jesse and I would love for you to like chime in too, because I'm sure you have great things to say if you're paying attention. I don't know.
Jesse said I'm trying to work. Will you guys stop talking to me?
Literally. Okay. So basically, how it goes, if y'all don't know, is like I make a bold statement, and then Kenny and Tristy are gonna respond with either Oh for Show if they agree, and they'll kind of give an explanation why as they agree.
Okay.
Or Ain't No Way if it's just too wild, they're like, heck no, like no chance this is happening.
Okay. All right, I'm ready. First topic, here we go.
First topic, hope you guys are ready for this.
Drum roll.
The Valkyries win a playoff series before the Kings.
Oh.
Go ahead, Tristy, you answer that one first while I think about it.
Wait, win a playoff series.
Win a playoff series. Before the Kings.
Oh, for sure.
I would say Oh for Show as well. They might win a playoff series this year.
You think with
I don't think
Thornton
they will.
Going down?
Yeah, I don't think they will.
I think that's the only didn't way that it makes
sense. Before Kayla Thornton got hurt, I would have said yes.
Yes.
But
didn't they just lose to Connecticut yesterday too? That was a bad loss.
Yeah. They haven't been as consistent. The grit is definitely kind of taking its toll. Like they used to be like the grittiest team. And I feel like, I don't know if it was like they were almost like super, almost too hyped up. But I mean, we were seeing like really good things out of a team that has barely even knows each other at this point. Let's be real. Like they barely know each other. But I just feel with like Natalie and Nakase, their head coach, and just, you know, the way that they've built this franchise in the short amount of time, just I've been pretty impressed. And with that winning culture that Golden State brings.
Let me say.
Joe said, we haven't won a championship in the first 5 years, right? Like, I feel like anyone else, you roll your eyes, you laugh. But like, Joe Lacob, like, you kind of, it's hard not to believe that. And especially with what we've seen from them, it's like, yeah, it's a short sample size, but I feel like they might win a championship before the 49ers do again.
Let me say this. I want to say this right now. You know I love you. Tristy, got love for you too, girl. But I'm from Sacramento. And that was ABC 7 in the Bay Area question, Sarah Hodges right there. What the hell kind of question is that?
Hey, y'all make
we
me do it.
We ain't trying to hear all that. We don't care. We don't even like the Valkyries.
Talk to Vivek. Don't talk
to me. We don't even
me.
Like the Valkyries.
At Vivek, don't at me.
We don't even like them. We don't even like them.
You don't like the Valkyries?
No, hell no. I'm aces for life. What you talking about? I've been aces for life. We struggling. We bouncing back right now, too, though. We bouncing back.
Yeah.
Asia, she's stepping up.
I love Asia.
But yeah, we
I want that jersey, too.
We ain't rocking with the Valkyries out here.